This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Cheryl Corley. HIV and AIDS is on the rise among Latinos. Latinos are the largest and fastest growing minority population in the United States, about 13% of the country's population. The Center for Disease Control says Latinos account for 18% of newly diagnosed cases of AIDS and HIV. Although blacks still represent the largest portion of the population infected with the disease, the epidemic has additional complications for Latinos. Cultural barriers, stigma, and legal issues make it difficult to battle the rise of AIDS. Just ahead, we'll hear from two Latinos, both suffering from HIV. But first, we turn to Dr. Ken Dominguez. He's an epidemiologist for the Center for Disease Control and specializes in the spread of HIV/AIDS. Also with us is Catalina Sol, the director of the HIV program at Clínica del Pueblo in the Washington, D.C. area. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Dr. Dominguez, let's start with you. I'm going to start with some figures from the CDC that I'm sure you're probably familiar with. Hispanics have the second highest rate of HIV diagnosis among all racial groups, and Latino males get infected at a rate three times higher than their white counterparts. What seems to be causing this increase?
There are a multitude of reasons that Latinos have a greater vulnerability to HIV. I can sort of describe a few of those. First on the list would probably be limited health care access. We know that about 34% of Latinos are uninsured compared to 13% of whites and 20% of blacks. Language barriers play a big role in terms of quality of care, being able to clearly communicate with your patients. Denial contributes to risk. The cultural value of machismo. A number of Latino men still feel strongly that, machismo is very important. The high rates of STDs facilitate transmission. We know that Latinos...
And when you say STDs, you're talking about...
Sexually transmitted diseases.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how the CDC actually gathers these statistics and who's really included in the count when we're talking about Latinos and AIDS.
State health departments, laboratories across the country report cases of HIV and other STDs to the CDC. And then the CDC then reports overall numbers to the overall population. For HIV, just to make it more clear, we have about 33 states that, as of 2006, report HIV directly to the CDC and have mature reporting systems. So when you hear about a lot of the numbers in terms of the epidemic, they're based on those states that have mature reporting systems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Catalina Sol, your program oversees 8 clinics in the Washington, D.C. area and primarily tests Latinos for HIV. I was wondering if your clinic system, if you're seeing an increase in the number of people testing positive as well.
Well, just to clarify, we're only a single clinic, but we have multiple programs outside of our main unit. I would say that we are, with better and newer statistics in our area, we're able to finally see a reflection of what's for us been an invisible epidemic for many years. We have rising numbers of cases among Latinos who are men who have sex with men, but also among heterosexual women and men. And I'd say that one additional factor of vulnerability that I'd like to mention for Latinos is the condition of being an immigrant. And in our population, which are mostly Latino immigrants, being an immigrant really increases your risk for contracting HIV along a number of different routes.
How so?
The disorientation and the differences in culture, particularly in terms of sexual norms and what people discuss, what people do, where they do so, an increased level of freedom, as it were, makes negotiating basically better, less risky behavior harder. Being an immigrant also means that you're more isolated. It means that you don't really know the system and what services you are eligible for. The increased hostility towards immigrants in our area has also drives people further underground. And I'd say that for us, one thing that many of the groups that are considered to be at risk have in common is that vulnerability from being an immigrant, being recently arrived and being disoriented within the system.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering how all of these kind of barriers and factors that you talk about really complicate the efforts to, A, diagnose the disease and then to actually treat the disease.
In our case, the outstanding characteristic is that 50% of our clients that we diagnose newly with HIV are also diagnosed with AIDS, which means that they've been walking around with the virus for quite some time. And it supports what we already know nationally, that there's a great number of people that that have HIV and don't know their status. But among Latinos, in our just small instance, I'd say that maybe half of the people who we believe to have HIV don't know that they have the virus. And that makes it much more difficult to get people to take medications and early to prevent transmission. So we really want to be able to get people at an earlier place in their diagnosis.
Dr. Dominguez, so what is the CDC doing to combat the spread of AIDS in Latinos?
You know, we feel that there's really no single solution to stopping HIV amongst the Latino communities. And we really support using sort of a broad-based approach to preventing HIV in the Latino population, one that's very comprehensive. And so just to give you a few examples of some of the things that we're doing, at least about 20% of our domestic prevention budget is spent in fighting HIV in the Latino communities. And some examples of where we spend our money in prevention, we fund about 59 community-based organizations that serve Hispanic Latinos.
And that would be one that, something like the Catalina Souls organization?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And another thing that we do is we work to expand access to proven prevention programs for Latinos. So there are behavioral interventions that are focused on Latinos. And we also actually have a toll-free number that people can call for testing purposes, and that's 1-800-CDC-INFO. And they can call at any time of the day and find out where's the closest place to get tested in their community.
Catalina, we've heard a number of ways that the CDC is going about trying to contact clinics and things like that. But how exactly does your clinic and other organizations really get the word out to people about treatment and prevention? We've talked about some of the barriers that exist as far as perhaps fear of testing and language. So what is that interaction with the community actually like?
Well, the strategy that has worked for us for many years is the use of peer educators, or promotores de salud, as they're known in our community, which are people from the communities that we'd like to reach, who we train and who serve not only to deliver messages, but also to tell us what's happening on the ground, where people are, what they're thinking, and so forth. And it's really the work of ants working, many small ants working together over time, that has made a difference. You know, when we started working around the area of HIV in the early 90s, people wouldn't want to test at all for HIV if they were in public. Now it's much easier for people to test, and they seek a test if it's readily accessible to them. However, our community is moving further and further out of the cities and into more rural areas or suburban areas. Mm-hmm. And it means that we have greater geographic challenges in reaching them. So radio is also a very important strategy that works with Latino immigrants. And we try to develop partnerships with Latino radio stations as well as television to deliver the messages. It's a regular and ongoing communication that we need to have also because of the large numbers of new people entering our system as new immigrants. I don't know. That's just a few examples.
Catalina Sol is the director of the HIV program at Clínica del Pueblo. Dr. Ken Dominguez is an epidemiologist at the Center for Disease Control. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.